All right, Hazard, I fixed something that you broke.
Moi?
Yeah.
What was that?
Was it the toilet?
No. I sit behind this big audio board every week, and I produce and engineer this here broadcast.
Correct.
Motor City Static.
Indeed you do.
Everybody's favorite Sunday night radio broadcast.
We hope so.
And on Saturday nights, Johnny Jump Up over here.
Yeah.
Puts his little show together.
Echoes of the Night.
Yeah, which is a very good show, and it's got a lot of listeners, so I'm very pleased about that.
Hmm.
Well, the thing is, I figured, all right, Hazard, he knows how to work the equipment. And for the most part, he does.
Yeah.
So about a week ago...
We're talking audio equipment, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, audio. Yeah, okay. Thanks, sorry.
Yeah, he does run it for the church sometimes, so we would hope that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So a week ago, was it last week, a week before that? I can't quite remember. You were complaining that there was static in the board, right? Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard it with my own ears. And I didn't put two and two together until I was prepping for tonight's broadcast. And then I realized that the Phantom power switch was on.
Phantom power switch?
Yeah.
So it was Hazard's fault.
It was Hazard's fault.
Of course, because we blame everything on Hazard.
Yeah, why not?
And the Phantom power is used for some microphones that need power.
Ah.
Our microphones don't need power.
Hazard was trying to get more raw power out into the airwaves.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to rock all night long. Right,
raw power. Okay, right. That's right.
So anyway, I'm not mad.
Oh, all right.
But the switches are next to each other on the back of the board, and it's easy to flip them both on. So you flipped...
Back of what board?
The broadcast audio board.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when you reach behind there to turn it on, you turn down the Phantom power.
Oh.
And that's why you got all that static in the channels there.
Oh, okay.
So
bad news.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
But I figured out the mystery. Oh. I solved it.
You have solved it.
So I'm happy about that.
That's why you are the engineer.
Yeah, whatever they call me. All right, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here on Motor City Static, this being the 21st day of January.
We have breaking entertainment news right now, though.
What happened?
What's that?
Well, just a few moments before we went on the air, there was a statement issued by the president of the Biff Radio Network.
Okay.
Vic Bondi.
No. I didn't know
he's got enough presidential duties with the fish club.
He usurped the network on top of that, huh?
Well, you know, our famed colleague, the famed Osaka Blue Bag.
Okay, he's your colleague, not mine, yeah.
Was dismissed.
What?
From the Biff Radio Network. It turns out...
It was purged.
Well, in a letter, may I read this paper from... Our president, Vic Bondi.
Wait, let me do the sound effect better. Yeah. Here we go. Ready?
There you go.
Yeah. He's using a paper.
Loose speak usually works better than Bounty.
And it says
he'd never make a Foley artist.
It says to my colleagues here, in an effort to promote cotton polyester friendliness at the Biff Radio Network. After several accusations that the Osaka Blue Bag is strictly being a cotton bag and not wanting to lean over and embrace the polyester side of things.
You mean canvas privilege?
Yes.
Blatant canvas privilege.
It was several allegations have come to the chairman's ears.
Yeah.
And the famed Osaka Blue Bag, well, worthwhile, has been dismissed.
Oh, how sad.
You will miss it. Fame colleague.
Did you lose it?
It's been replaced.
Uh-oh, what do you got now?
And this is the new Hoda bag, as we're calling this right now.
Hoda bag?
Yeah, the Hoda bag.
Hoda bag.
You can carry a lot in that bag.
And
why do you call it a Hoda bag? You don't know? Maybe from Hoda Kotb over there on the Today Show?
There you go. So
it's a swoop pocket tote.
Yes.
It's two bags in one.
So it is carrying the music of, like I said, the famed Osaka Blue Bag was dismissed officially last night. So this was the replacement.
It's a blue bag.
It's a blue bag. And
with a black pocket thing on front.
Yeah. And rather larger than the famed Osaka blue bag.
Much larger.
So to carry all that good music.
You can carry groceries in that bag.
There you go.
So where's Osaka now? On the
Osaka is in...
closet, on the couch?
It's gone to the Hamptons right now.
Really?
It's gone to the Hamptons to kind of reflect on what has happened. So it's taken some time out. But we're going to work with the Hoda bag.
Okay.
And see where that takes us.
It seemed to really like the Hoda bag there.
It does. It's got, you know.
Kind of feely.
It's got a pocket on the outside, a black pocket on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a, as they say.
It's a polyester material, as you said.
And in the marketplace, here's a big word, gusset.
Yeah.
That's the, like that.
Oh, it's a gusset? Okay.
It has a gusset.
Wow.
So we're quite happy with it.
Well, glad you're happy with it.
So President Vic Bondi has approved this replacement.
You can carry bags of fish home from the auction, too.
There you go. So,
and I'm glad you said January 21st, 2018. Otherwise to be known as Take Your Good Sweet Time Day. Oh, my goodness gracious. It warms up a little bit over freezing, and people are just...
Dilly-dallying.
Dilly-dallying around.
Yeah.
Dilly-dally. Wait a minute. Isn't that
whatever they're taking, please give me some.
Dilly-dally.
Oh, geez. Their heads are in the clouds out there.
Could be Xanax. Could be any one of those drugs.
And then on top of it,
drugs.
It got foggy.
Yep. It's warm.
But everybody, I went to the grocery store today early thinking I'd just whip in, you know, get in, get out
before
I come here.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I went last night, baby.
They're looking up in the air. They're reading labels, leaving their cart in the middle of the aisle. And it made me think. Made me think. I need to get together with Mark Sweetman, and we need to write a comedic book on rules of grocery shopping.
Etiquette?
Etiquette.
Grocery shopping etiquette.
Grocery shopping etiquette.
That'd be a great idea.
It would be. That'd be fun.
Don't walk down the middle of the aisle looking like you're sightseeing.
Yeah.
Go get what you need, put it in the cart, and move on. Don't hold conversations when you run into your neighbor. Go to the end of the aisle and hold the conversation. Yes, I have a permit for the soapbox.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm glad he's launching into this because I was telling Hazard I had the same experience today.
Yeah, well, I didn't tell you about my experience. You've gotten that email. We've all gotten that email about people at something Mart. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
About the outrageous outfits and...
Yeah. Peopleofwalmart.com.
Yeah. Well, sure enough, I saw some of that last night.
Wow.
The guy was wearing some sort of waiter boots and shorts. It was truly... And his girl come out and she was carrying a case of beer. What a combo.
Wow.
Took me some time to shop for snacks tonight there, Chuck.
Did it. Well, I'm grateful.
And I picked up a few other things, and I was heading to the aisle, and there's a sign that says 12 items or less, and I usually obey that to the point of counting every time I use that aisle.
Nobody else does.
I'll be honest. I'm going to make an admission right now. I've been guilty of going 21 items, and the 20 items or less.
That's okay.
Oh, okay.
But I think those self-serve kiosks are the worst idea ever because these people just stand there and stare at them and
need training.
Yeah, they put their cart in one way, the other way. They don't know how to look things up. And a lady cut in front of me, rather young lady. And
usually they know how to use it.
Well,
younger people.
Well, this is not her episode. Okay. What I was going to say is she cut in front of me with about 110 items.
Really?
It was a shopping cart filled to the brim in a 12 items or less.
Wow.
And she had an attitude, and she also had a bridge card. So,
oh, okay.
You know, it's just really, sister.
Well, this is one instance where I would endorse the microchipping of humans, and I would get one.
Okay.
A microchip. If you had to have a microchip in your hand in order to use a self-checkout, I would endorse that.
All right.
Because then it would cut down on a lot of the riffraff in there that stand there and look at the screen like it's something from Lost in Space before they push go.
Point well taken. All right, let's get this dog and pony show on the road. The views and comments expressed in the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard.
He raises his hand dutifully. I like that. If he's got his head bound down in shame, and then he raises his hand. If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm. Certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out that back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Status, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
It was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, this is it, Motor City Static, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. Visit our website, MotorCityStatic.com. MotorCityStatic.com. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard in the studio having a blast. This is our third week out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chuck, do you know that Ron in the man cave watches train videos on his computer?
He watches. Yeah, I would guess that.
I'm surprised that the boy doesn't have like a wall of video feeds, live feeds. You know, so you watch trains from across the nation.
Well,
oh, look at that right there. That's the New York Central pulling in. Oh, it's 2 minutes on time. Oh.
That's one thing Ron will do for himself when he wins the Mega Millions is have those feeds set up. It'd be like you know, probably something at the Pentagon, a wall, and just train feeds from
Welcome
around the country.
Welcome to Ron's wall of trains.
Look at this. The train's coming in Idaho. Watch. Push a button.
It'd be like, you know, the guys will have the headphones on. All right, I want to. All right, switch over to camera C.
Well,
Norfolk Southern, right there.
There are live feeds of cameras at certain junctions and stations that you can look up on YouTube and watch.
Why does that not surprise me?
It's fascinating. Really, it is. You know? There's Rochelle, Illinois. There's Fosteria, Ohio. I think Durand has one up here in Michigan. It's kind of fun, you know? Inclement weather. You sit indoors with your jammies and your cocoa.
Yeah.
And you watch the trains go by.
I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm watching trains.
Do you still get the magazine?
Yeah, Trains magazine.
Yeah.
Sent one to my grandnephew, Chase.
Oh, did you?
Second year, renewed his subscription because he's such a nice, fine boy.
Oh, how nice.
So I'm at the grocery store today, Chuck, and every person from my journey in the parking lot, indoors, up and down the aisles, everyone has got their face flush against a smartphone.
Really? They're probably looking at their shopping lists.
No,
they were
not.
No?
No.
I saw a lady with a paper and pen shopping list today at Kroger.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was, I haven't seen that in a long time. I thought I was the only one who still did that.
I do that every now and then.
Do you?
Yeah. Right on the backside of an envelope or something?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I forgot two things when I was at the grocery store.
What?
Dryer sheets and milk bones.
All right.
Dryer sheets? Ooh, I need to.
I need to go back.
Check into those.
And another time, and get some dryer sheets and milk bones.
Okay.
I'm not out of either, but I'm dangerously close.
Hazard, pull that mic down so that we can hear you. It's at a different angle.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
You can adjust it.
There you go.
You're a professional. You've been doing this for almost a decade.
Yes.
All right.
Hazard, you should make it so you don't have to bend. So you just turn your face and boom, it's there. Like this. You see that? There's no bending. There's no hunching.
What up?
Anyway, today is Sunday, January 21st, the 21st day of 2018. For those of you counting at home, 344 days left.
Till the end of the year or till Christmas?
Till the end of the year.
Okay.
Say on this date. 17-
what do you do on New Year's Eve?
Oh, you want to talk about end of the world.
No one said anything about the end of the world.
Oh, you should have heard Pastor Scott today
really?
Rare form.
Fire and brimstone?
He was giving a sermon, and it could have been done in about, I don't know, 15 minutes. But at 25 minutes, while we were still there, where you know everybody started going, they didn't know what was going to end first, his sermon or the world. It was just carrying on.
Why are you looking at me when you're talking?
Guess you had to have been there.
Yeah, because you guys love Pastor Scott. He's
a good
guy.
He's a good dude.
Awesome. We got to bring him in. He is looking lean. Oh, this is the fabulous part. He starts the service off. He's talking about 1984. He goes, I was in my car and I was listening to some Van Halen and he had his son in there. And he goes, yeah, wait a minute. That wasn't Jeff Hazard's car, was it?
Seriously?
Yes, swear to God. Everybody's like, oh, you got a shout out at church.
Anyway, on this date back in 1793 during the French Revolution, King Louis the 16th, condemned for treason, was executed on the guillotine. In 1861, Jeff Davis of Mississippi and four other Southerners whose states had seceded from the Union resigned from the U.S. Senate. So that was the beginning of the secession movement.
Started the Confederacy.
That's right. In 1908, New York City's Board of Aldermen passed an ordinance prohibiting women from smoking in public establishments. The measure was vetoed by Mayor George B. McClellan Jr., but not before one woman, Katie Mulcahy, was jailed overnight for refusing to pay a fine. Those Irish women, I tell you, are feisty. Love them. Love them. In 1915, the first Kiwanis Club, dedicated to community service, was founded in, of all places, Detroit.
Really?
Yeah. In 1924, Lenin died. Vladimir Lenin. He was 53.
Not John. Oh.
And in 1942, pinball machines, Chuck, were banned in New York City after a court ruled that they were gambling devices that relied on chance rather than skill.
Really?
Yeah.
No, there's skill involved.
Well, the ban was lifted in 1976.
Good.
And on this day in 1977, on his first full day in office, President Jimmy Carter pardoned almost all Vietnam War draft evaders. In 1998, Pope John Paul II began a historic pilgrimage to Cuba. And then Jack Lord from Hawaii Five-O passed away in Honolulu. He was 77.
No kidding.
Yeah. 10 years ago, Democrat presidential rivals Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama accused each other of repeatedly and deliberately distorting the truth for political gain in a highly personal debate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And then 5 years ago, a day after being inaugurated for a second term in a private ceremony on Sunday, so it was 5 years ago today, it was a Sunday, President Barack Obama took a public oath summoning a divided nation to act with, quote, passion and dedication to broaden equality and prosperity at home, nurturing democracy around the world, and combat global warming. Let's see, what else? 1 year ago? A day after Donald Trump's inauguration, more than 1 million people rallied at women's marches in the nation's capital and cities around the world to send the new president an emphatic message that they wouldn't let his agenda go unchallenged. I guess they did that again this weekend. Today's birthdays. Golf Hall of Famer Jack Nicklaus is 78. Placido Domingo is 77. Mac Davis, 76. Jill Eikenberry, 71. Billy Ocean, 68.
Wow.
Co-founder of Microsoft, Paul Allen, is 65. Robbie Benson is 62. 62.
Robbie Benson?
Yeah. Whoa. Gina Davis is 62. And Basketball Hall of Famer Hakeem Olajuwon is 55. And that's what's happening on Today in History. If you want to know what's happening in rock history, stick around about 15 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Chuck's going to bring that to us. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network on two great stations, 88.1 FM, WBFH, Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5 WAHS, Auburn Hills. Say hi to all our listeners all over the Great Plains of Northern Detroit, I guess.
The world.
The world on the Biff Radio app. They're tuning in, and we appreciate all of that fun stuff. Bumped into Alan Maester yesterday. Alan Maester, bumped into him, sat down, had a few adult beverages, and mentioned to him about the upcoming visit on the 11th, I believe. Is that right, Haz?
Yes, it is.
Well, after last week's broadcast, Chuck, I was contacted by Class of 85 alum Utica Ford, Eric Ozarzak.
Oh, yeah?
He wants to be on the show, too.
Hmm.
And why would that be fascinating to you and me and Haz?
I have no idea.
Well, Eric has some experience as an actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he in the IMDb?
I believe he is.
Hmm.
So, he's a background actor.
All right.
So, he'll tell us about that. He says, basically, since the Michigan credit dried up, so did the industry here in Michigan.
Okay.
Which is no surprise.
No.
So, yeah, he's an extra. That's what they call it, extra.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have him in on the 11th, and then that will be a mini Utica Ford reunion.
How fun.
Class of 83, class of 84, and class of 85.
Oh, you, Maestri, and him?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Hazard and I will take the day off.
You want to? You can. Okay.
Maybe. What do you think, Haz? You think about it?
I'll think about it.
We're doing a radio show.
I said I'll think about it.
Stop trolling.
My God.
I'll think about it.
Wrap him on the knuckles with that ruler.
I might hit him with the Master Blaster thing here. What's this thing called? Vibraslap.
There you go. Yesterday was National Disc Jockey Day.
Oh, speaking of disc jockeys, did you hear the Doc of Rock is going country?
Yeah.
Say what?
Your hero, Hazard, the Doc of Rock, is going country.
No.
Yep.
Interesting.
I thought so.
What details do you have?
I just saw a thing on Facebook, actually, that he was grateful to the people at 93.1 FM for giving him this opportunity. And yes, he is going country, it said.
Good for him.
So what is that, Nash FM?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave Fuller, I guess, is the morning guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doug will be afternoon, right?
I don't know.
Probably. That's the marquee time slot.
I was a riff
him.
Guy, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, good for him.
Good. Yeah.
And then today is National Hug Day.
Don't hug me, Hazard. Keep it over there.
I was hugging Reiner, actually.
I'll bet. Before I got here, a little bromance going on.
Hey, now. Nothing wrong with that. All right. All of your regular features are here. Mm-hmm. We've got Today in Rock History coming up. As I mentioned,
I'm ready.
Good.
Got it all written down.
I've got a surprise for you on that front.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Then we've got Big Words with Ron.
We do. And you should go 4 for 4.
I hope so. Last week was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then finally, we've got Hazard a Guess.
Mm-hmm.
Human body.
We do.
That's
Hazard's
favorite subject.
It is.
I like to study.
Female human body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, do we have time to slip in a song here?
We sure do. I got that one you requested, Ron.
All right.
My sister Nancy on her Facebook account has been posting peace songs. I don't know when she started it, but she asked me if I knew of any. And this was my contribution from a band called Utopia. This is Love is the Answer on Motor City Static.
That was the last track from the album Oops, Wrong Planet by Todd Rundgren and his band Utopia. Love is the Answer.
Mm-hmm.
The persons that had the bigger hit would have been England Dan and John Ford Coley, reached number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 back in 1979.
No kidding.
Let me close my eyes and think it would be May of 1979. All right, Motor City Static will be back after these messages. Segment number 2, Motor City Static, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. Welcome. Biff Radio Network, WBFH, WAHS.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Rundgren, great guy, great artist.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorites.
I went back and watched the video of his speech 2016 at Berkeley Music.
Oh, yeah?
Fascinating.
Uh-huh. I saw him in concert a bunch of times. My sister back in the day, she gave me two of his albums. One of them was called The Hermit of Mink Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was called Something Anything, a double album. I listen to those things endlessly.
Yeah, great stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, real good stuff.
Songwriter, songwriter, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
A lot of people refer to him as the male version of... Oh, I'm drawing a blank here.
Uh-oh. You're hazarding.
Yeah, I am. Going crazy here. What's her name? I'm drawing a blank.
Who?
Carole King. There okay. we go. Gosh. I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah?
Talking in the middle of something and then completely disremembering things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yesterday was
what
National Disc Jockey Day, and although we're not disc jockeys, we're air personalities, we thought we would celebrate it. Now... This is something that's fascinating here. The very first disc jockey was an experiment on the airwaves.
Okay? Oh, really?
Yeah. And what year do you think the first disc jockey appeared?
1942.
Hazard, I guess?
47.
47? Let's go back to 1909.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding. 16-year-old Ray Newby was a student under the supervision of Charles Doc Harold at Harold College of Engineering and Wireless. He played the first records over the airwaves before the word disc jockey even existed.
Wow.
Let's see. What started as an experiment from the Garden City Bank building where the college was located in San Fernando, California, was soon being replicated by radio broadcasters across the country. Before Newby's broadcast, news, music, and entertainment were primarily broadcast live. Now, Reginald Fessenden, back in 1906...
That's my cousin.
He played a record on the air.
Reginald?
But it was 16-year-old Ray Newby who played record after record on the air.
Ooh.
It wasn't until 25 years later that radio commentator Walter Winchell coined the term disc jockey. Because you're jockeying the discs around.
Yeah.
You're like a horse.
Oh.
You're riding a horse. You're in the lead. You're behind. You're mixing things up.
Right.
So that's where that comes from.
Horses. Speaking of horses, this guy, what'd you tell me?
What?
Bet on
Lucky Lady in race number 4. Hazard, you know, he'll call.
Right.
And not leave messages. Or his message is, hey, what up? Call me.
Oh, jeez.
And it takes me longer to get to the message than it does to listen to the message, which sometimes will anger me.
Yeah, well.
So I'll text him, what up? And he says, I have questions. That's what he said. So I responded to him, bet on Lucky Lady and race number 4. That was my first answer. And what was the second answer?
Something about garlic and onions.
Oh, always use garlic and onion when cooking beef. Those were my two answers to him. Not knowing the questions, those were my answers. Pretty clever, huh?
Yeah, very clever. Anyway, today, contemporary DJs play music from vinyl to digital, regardless of the medium. They use all term, the term disc jockey still applies. Mobile DJs are master of ceremonies and all that stuff. So that, I thought that would be a little interesting tidbit there for you.
That is an interesting tidbit.
All right, let's do this. It's time for history, I think.
It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Wow, I like that. Who's my voiceover talent?
Imani Wright.
Oh, thank you
She's
very
a
much.
Senior
wait a minute. Wait. What's her name?
Imani Wright. I-M-A-N-N-I Wright.
She did a very nice job. Did you have to coach her on how to say my name?
No.
Wow.
No.
Thank you, Imani. Well, Imani, on this date in 1968, Jimi Hendrix recorded his version of the Bob Dylan song All Along the Watchtower at Olympic Studios in London. Rolling Stone Brian Jones and Dave Mason from Traffic both played on the session. The track was released in the U.S. as a single in 1968, peaking at number 20. In 1982, B.B. King donated his entire record collection of over 20,000 discs to Mississippi University's Center for the Study of Southern Culture. I'd like to at least see a list of the records
wow.
that were in that collection. Sadly, on this date in 1997, Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis Presley's manager and agent, died of a stroke in Las Vegas at the age of 87. He was born Andreas van Kuik, a Dutch immigrant who changed his name as soon as he arrived in the U.S. Parker never applied for a green card and feared deportation his entire life. He briefly managed country singers Eddie Arnold and Hank Snow.
It's one of the reasons why Elvis never toured out of the States.
Mm-hmm. I remember we talked about that before.
Yep.
And finally, Ron,
in
2004, as the third season of American Idol was aired on U.S. TV, a memo was leaked showing a list of songs banned from being performed at that year's auditions that included Elton John's Candle in the Wind, Fallen by Alicia Keys, also songs by Bruce Springsteen, Mariah Carey, No Doubt, R. Kelly, Tom Petty, Korn, and Linkin Park were not allowed after concerns over the cost of securing rights for the song's use or the composers not wanting their songs to be performed on the show.
Really?
And that's just a little bit of what happened on this day in music. And let's do a little bit of Bruce Springsteen, shall we? From his Darkness on the Edge of Town release, this is Candy's Room on Motor City Static.
That's Candy's Room, the boss, Bruce Springsteen on Motor City Static. Good song there, Chuck. Good choice.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Authorities say a man from Florida was charged with driving under the influence after mistaking a bank drive-thru for a Taco Bell.
I just saw that.
The Tampa Bay Times reports that 38-year-old Douglas John Francisco, all these perps always have three names. Do you ever notice that?
Mm-hmm. Like Jeffrey Lee Hazard.
Anyway, Doug was arrested Wednesday evening of this past week outside the Bank of America branch in Spring Hill. The Hernando County Sheriff's Office says employees spotted Francisco passed out in the bank's drive-up lane. After the workers banged on his car for some time, deputies say Francisco finally woke up and tried to order a burrito.
That's funny.
When the branch manager told him it wasn't a Taco Bell, he reportedly drove to the front parking lot. Deputies say they found Francisco in the driver's seat with his car running. He was arrested after failing a field sobriety test. Francisco was freed Thursday on $500 bond, and jail records didn't list an attorney. So good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then a waitress who has been a feature of a Pennsylvania restaurant for more than six decades has worked her final shift at the Penn State Hangout. Emma Gonzalez, 81 years young, retired last Tuesday from the corner room where she worked as a waitress for 61 years. The Center Daily Times reports that Gonzalez worked her first shift at the restaurant in the 1950s and has not missed a shift since then. She says what she'll miss the most is the people who stop by. Restaurant co-owner John Cocolan says Gonzalez's greatest contribution has been her big smile and infectious personality. Since word spread at the restaurant that Gonzalez was retiring, she received gifts from customers. General Manager John Briggs says there have been a steady stream of people coming in to wish her well. Isn't that something?
That is something.
This country works on people such as Emma. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not a celebrity, not a politician, not rich. Goes in, does her job, serves the public, and then moves on.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Website, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. If you want to contact us, you can, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. If there's anything that you want us to discuss, anything you want to find out about, if you have a proposition of a date for Hazard, you can email him there.
Whoa! This is not about Hazard, okay?
Didn't we have one about a beard or something for Ron?
Yeah, I decided against that.
Oh.
I took a...
Who cares what you want?
What?
What? Did we get any emails on that, by the way?
Yeah, Ruth said no.
Any other emails?
No.
You're lying. I can tell by that grin on your face.
No, I'm fine.
You probably got 15 positives and one no from Ruth.
Well, Ruth runs the shop here, so I guess no.
Yeah, look, she told me not to grow a beard. Look what happened.
You went crazy on that one. So anyway, the podcast of this here broadcast will be up at MotorCityStatic.com for your listening pleasure. And was it your sister that wanted to know why there was no music last week?
Yes, it was.
Please explain to the public why there is no music.
Because we're too cheap to pay for the rights to air it on the podcast.
No.
We can't afford for the rights to air it on the podcast.
Not only that.
And we don't want to offend or the artists.
Right.
Nor let Hazard do jail time for us.
Hey, wait, what are you slapping those cuffs on for?
He's like, what? Hazard, what? Jail time, huh?
What? Who? What? Who?
Yeah, Johnny, jump up. Yeah, you'll be jumping up in the joint there.
So my friends are panicking.
Which one?
My liberal friends.
Uh-oh.
They're shutting down the government. Too bad. It's shut down on Saturday and Sunday
anyway.
Yeah,
I want a refund. I shouldn't have to pay taxes for the days they're shut down.
Funny you should mention that, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up. Number of friends. I don't even discuss these things on Facebook anymore because everyone gets bent out of shape.
It just infuriates you.
And it does. And the thing that bugs me the most are people are misinformed about how the government works and how things work.
Or don't work, as the case may be.
Right. Case in point, they want the government to handle their health care. Well, the government has yet to...
Oh, don't get me started on health care.
Has yet to fix anything, and everything that the government touches, they destroy. So
turns to poop.
Exactly.
Can I say that on the radio?
You just did.
Okay, good.
So I'm sitting there watching the arguments back and forth. Well, the government's, we're going to go to blazes because the government's not there. It's like, well, The government's not there during federal holidays. The government's not there on Saturdays and Sundays. And a couple people suggested, hey, if the government is not in session, we should not pay taxes.
Now, let me say this about the government not being there on Saturdays and Sundays. Back in my TV career, I worked a lot of Saturdays covering politicians that would come out and speak to the people that they represented. So although they might not be in their office, can I say this guy's name? I think he's retired now.
Go ahead.
Sander Levin.
Yeah.
Used to represent Madison Heights area.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come into town every so often and have a town hall meeting for the citizens of Madison Heights and if they wanted to come from whatever other city he represented. So not to defend the politicians, but oftentimes on Saturdays, and the same thing with now Sheriff Mike Bouchard, when he was a state senator, he could often be found with my camera in his face on a weekend out talking to the people that elected him. And there were others, too, that I covered during that time. So it's not that they don't work on the weekends. In fact, they might be doing some of their most important work on a Saturday late morning, early afternoon, out talking to the likes of people like Hazard.
Heavens to Betsy.
And there was always people there asking questions about, why are you doing this? Why didn't you vote on that? How come you weren't there for this?
Mm-hmm.
So, in their defense, I guess, some politicians do work on Saturdays.
I guess. But then he would get on his plane and go back to his million-dollar home in Boston, right?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Well, he should have.
He
doesn't have a house out here. Never had a house out here.
Really?
Yeah, he had a mailing address, and that was...
didn't know.
Pretty much it.
But he came into town to talk to his people, so that was important.
Once in a while, FaceTime, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just wanted to point out that the government is closed on Saturday and Sunday. And Monday, 83% of the people in the government will be at their desks. So what's the big whoop? Take the week off.
I don't know. I know that I saw a story on the aforementioned Facebook today. Actually, it was a friend of a friend who commented he was in the Navy. And his ship had come into port today, but he couldn't offboard because there was no one there from the government to sign his paperwork or something, he said.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then that's that the playoff games for the NFL were almost not played on the Armed Forces Network because no one was working.
See, it's
but
called...
here's my question. Isn't the Armed Forces Network run by the Armed Forces?
Yeah, but what happens when you have a government shutdown? The non-essential personnel are furloughed.
So the civilians.
So the civvies, the people that... Yeah, the missiles are being minded. The ships are plowing the seas.
The guns are being cleaned.
Exactly. It's just that the support personnel are not there.
Okay.
Which I find funny because if they're non-essential, why did we hire them in the first place?
Now let me ask you this question then.
Yeah.
I think they may have known this was coming ahead of time because I owe money to the IRS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. People know anyway. So my date to have my monthly payment to them is the 28th of each month.
Mm-hmm.
They usually send me the coupon because they don't. You can't pay it online for some reason.
Yeah.
You can, but there's a charge.
Yeah.
I
went through that too for about 8 years.
Yeah. So yep. I got my slip in the mail on Friday, and yesterday morning I got my checkbook out. I was going to write the check out and drop it in the post office this weekend, and the date had been moved to exactly 7 days from the 28th, thus being February 4th.
Hmm.
Now, unless they changed my date without telling me, this could be a conspiracy theory that they knew they were going to shut down, but they would still want their money on time, you'd think, right?
I don't know.
Just thinking out loud.
Oh, and it was pointed out to me, too, that the national parks and everything else will be open, the monuments and all that. But the last time the previous president shut down the government, he had chicken wire and barricades put up. Remember that? The war memorials? Remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That was a big deal.
Yep.
Because he wanted to make it a political statement.
Hmm.
So.
And the veterans got out there, and I think they...
They clipped it, and they went in there, yeah. So, anyway, government's shut down. Big whoopee-ding-dong. Everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The sun will come up. Spring will be here in 2 months. I don't know if it'll be warm, but spring will be here.
It'll be the season anyway.
Yeah, Motor City Static, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. Right here on the Biff Radio Network, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. How about some music?
Sure, Ron. If you paid very careful attention to the this Day in Rock report, you're going to see a theme to our musical selections today.
All right.
So if you're keeping track at home, you might recognize a few of these artists as having been mentioned in the This Day in Rock report. So this CD I acquired in kind of an interesting way. Back in my esteemed TV production career, I got nominated for a national award for a television show I produced called Detroit's Underground. The company I worked for flew me down to New Orleans for the awards presentation. I didn't win, but I got to go to New Orleans for free. And when I got to my room and opened the door, this CD was sitting on the floor in there. Like, they slid it under the door for, like, hey, welcome to New Orleans kind of thing.
Hey.
It's by B.B. King. The CD is called There Is Always One More Time. This is I'm Moving On. On Motor City Static.
That's Riley Blues Boy King on Motor City Static. I'm moving on. And I hope that's not a theme that I'm picking up there that you're leaving us there, Chuck.
No.
All right.
Not at all.
I'm moving on.
I'd just tell you, I wouldn't play songs.
Wow. All right, Motor City Static here on the Biff Radio Network. I was a little bit surprised and shocked and saddened to learn the death of one of my favorite radio personalities, not in this market, and nobody in this market would know who this person is, but what alarmed me was that he was relatively young, and it was a sudden death yesterday morning.
Oh, really? Who was it?
John Corby from WTVN, 610 WTVN out of Columbus, Ohio.
Hmm.
You can catch it here during the daytime. It's a little 5,000-watt AM station, iHeartMedia. Columbus, Ohio. And I discovered him by accident about 20 years ago as I was dialing through. And I really enjoyed his laid-back personality. He was an everyman.
You were DXing?
Yeah, DXing. Thank you. And he passed away at the age of 61.
Wow, that is young.
Yeah, he was the afternoon guy at WTVN. He had some features like the Big Bass Brothers, Billy Ray Vulgar, and every Friday they would go to a restaurant.
What? Billy Ray Vulgar.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
We could call Hazard that, too.
But one of the features that they would do is their rotating restaurant critics piece that they did every Friday. So they would go to a restaurant in the Columbus area, and everybody, they would just chat. You know how we have our discussion here?
Mm-hmm.
So this show is kind of modeled on what John Corby did at WTVN.
Wow.
So age of 61, I suspect, probably a heart attack yesterday morning. So, you know, that's people should know some of these people out there.
Absolutely.
So, all right, we're going to wrap this up. Our show's half over.
Wow.
Big Words with Ron is coming next, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Got it right here.
Motor City Static returns after these messages. What's so nice, Hazard, that you get with the program and you learn about the history of broadcasting? Nathan Birnbaum and Jack Benny and...
Norman Greenbaum, what?
Nathan Birnbaum. George Burns.
Oh, okay.
George Burns.
I dropped that name. That's his real name. Of course, Jack Benny's real name was... Benny Kabelski.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Boy, are these retro bottles for the Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, I saw them. I thought I'd give them to you.
I was at the grocery store today, and I almost picked up a 8-pack of Pepsi just because of the bottle, and I said, no, I'm not going to fall for that.
So you come over to Ron's and...
I didn't know you were going to have Pepsi.
Well, that's your favorite, so...
It is.
Don't fall for it.
I have some at home, actually, so I didn't need any more. I really bulked up on the liquids in the refrigerator in today's grocery shopping
truck. So did I. So did I.
All right. Bought some vitamin water. I haven't had that in a while.
Oh.
I had a coupon. And it was on sale. Ding, ding.
You've got the bill over there.
Coupon?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to come up with a theme. You played two songs on the broadcast so far. You did Candy's Room by Bruce Springsteen.
Three songs, actually.
You didn't? Oh, that's right. All right. I'm sorry.
The third one's queued up. I'm sorry.
No. You had Love is the Answer.
Well, that was not to do with with the report, though. That was, said, do you have that? Can you bring it?
Yeah, and you played that. Okay, yeah. I understand. I didn't know that that was not part of the theme.
No.
So I was correct. You played two songs in your theme, Candy's Room by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And I'm Moving On by B.B. King.
Correct.
And that referenced something you did in This Day in Rock History.
Correct. I did a story that included Bruce Springsteen's name, and I did a story about B.B. King donating... all 20,000 of his record albums.
Was it 20 or 22,000?
20. Hazard was paying attention. Ron was not. Point Hazard.
Oh,
you know what? I found out something interesting. You know how last week we were having a discussion, I think it was off the air, about toilet paper coming from over the roll or under the roll?
Yeah, it's over the roll.
It's under the roll. It's supposed to be under.
No, it's over the roll.
Okay, you freaking conservatives. You have your toilet paper the way you want it. But I just noticed... earlier today in the very good chip dip that you provided for Hazard and I, and the chips, Hazard is a scooper.
It's dip.
It's not chip scoop. Yeah. It's chip dip, Hazard. I'm a dipper.
Scooper scraper.
Hazard's a scooper scraper.
I love that.
I'm sure that's entertaining for the people at home.
Yeah, it is.
So every time I dipped, he scooped. It was kind of like a construction site in the chip dip. He was the backhoe. Oh, I better get the vibra slap ready.
Oh, man.
Is it working?
I hope so. Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rippenberg. Love it, love it, love it, love it. That's a great theme.
It is.
It's my favorite theme of all the themes that we do on the show.
Really? Well, you got it by permission. No one else is using it for anything.
Nope.
It's not off a, what do you call those libraries where it's all canned music?
Music libraries.
It's not one of those. It's not from that. It's an original song written by one of Detroit's own, Jim Morris Jr.
All right. Let me get my paper here.
Yeah, you're going to need it. I'm going to start you off with this one.
I humiliated myself last week, and I pled a medical condition, which nobody bought. So.
No. Did Ruth buy it? Did she say anything about Big Words with Ron in
she
the email?
She said it was embarrassing to me.
Ron, if you'd like, we can send the words to in a brown, plain brown wrapper.
No, you can't. It's part of the fun.
Oh.
And these words are very, very easy this week.
As I said, they are Ragnar approved.
Hazard must have got an extra $100 in his paycheck or something this week from the Motor City Static account.
And human resources? Yeah. That would be me.
Yeah. So, Ron, your first word, it is an adjective. And I want these definitions to be exact for you to get them because they're so easy. Its earliest documented use was in 1795.
Okay.
And it is, where does it say where it's from? It doesn't. Oh, let's see. Maybe it's up here somewhere. Nope. Okay. So, Ron, your word is copper-bottomed.
Copper-bottomed.
Mm-hmm. Do you need me to spell that for you?
I'm spelling it now. Let's see. That's two P's and two T's, two O's, two E's.
Three O's, actually.
Three O's, yeah.
And there's a hyphen. It's a hyphenated word. Copper-bottomed.
All right. Well, right off the bat, if it's hyphenated, that means it's got a copper bottom.
No. Not at all. Well, are you just toying with us?
Well, go ahead. Read me the sentence.
Sure. In those circumstances, even copper-bottomed facts become contentious. In those circumstances, even copper-bottomed facts become contentious.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that copper tarnishes?
No.
You try to clean it up real nice and...
No. Oh. Even Hazard is shaking his head vehemently no.
Well, copper is shiny and then it tarnishes.
Yeah, it turns kind of a greenish color.
Yeah. Would it be related to ironclad? Because if it's an ironclad agreement, there's no...
It's kind of related to ironclad, but that's not in the definition.
Yeah. It's not?
No.
Well, copper-bottomed is an adjective. We know that.
I said that at the beginning.
So copper-bottomed anything, right?
Except Hazard's pots and pans. Yeah. But they would be copper-bottomed for this reason. Right, Hazard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because copper on the bottom of a pan.
Or a pot.
It's a good conductor of heat.
Yes. Correct.
Making it what? Easier to heat up.
No.
Inflamed.
No.
No?
Oh, this is fun. This is more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Efficient?
Ooh, so close.
Yeah, very close.
So close.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Are you giving up?
You're not giving up. But if you had choice between two pans,
you'd go
with the one that's copper bottomed.
Because it's better. A better conductor of heat.
Well,
controversy.
What's another word for better?
God, has
superior.
Why don't you just hand it to him with a bow on it? No, not mean, superior.
Better.
Don't look at me. It's his clue. I want you to fail miserably.
It's a copper-bottomed argument, so it's fortified different than the other arguments.
No.
Right?
No.
I don't know what word you're looking for.
Well, you haven't given any. There's one, two, three of you. You could have given us, and you didn't give us any of them.
All right.
Right.
You're giving up?
Yeah, I'll give up.
You ain't giving up.
Reliable, genuine, or trustworthy?
Right.
What?
Ragnar wanted you to succeed, and you failed miserably at that one.
How do you get reliable and trustworthy out of copper bottom?
That's what's on the paper. That's how I get it.
That's dumb.
It's from the English Oxford Dictionary or wherever he gets
Ragnar
this from.
Ragnar said you should have got it.
Yeah, Ragnar is over there.
Now think of something, Ron.
Yeah.
Ragnar, Viking, ships. Hint?
No.
Okay.
I have no clue where you're going with it. Word number two.
We got a lot of words today.
Yeah, you'll see. Yeah, you'll see.
All right, let's do, I'm going to do these two together. Is that okay, Hazard?
Yep.
Because they're that band.
Yeah, I know.
And what was that dude that was in that band? That ended,
ended it was the guy from Metallica.
Yeah, the bass player.
Yeah.
All right, Ron, here's one you should be able to get fairly easy.
Mm-hmm. That's what you said about copper bottomed.
It's an adjective again.
All right.
I see a theme here. It is earliest documented use was in 1770.
Okay.
And it's apparently our producer isn't doing all the work cuz we don't know where it's from, but it's groggy is the word. Groggy.
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 It's like drunk from grog.
No. God, you're wow, you're taking the same things those people in the grocery store were taking today. It's in a cloud. It kept the kids away at night and left them groggy all the next day at school. Groggy.
Well, yeah, you're unfocused. You're
G-R-O-G-G-Y.
In a haze. It comes from grog. When you drink grog.
Oh, you said drunk earlier, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll give it to you.
Goodness gracious.
One of the words is intoxication.
Jeez.
Dazed, weak, or unsteady as from lack of sleep, tiredness, sickness, intoxication, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're one in one.
Thank you.
I tell you, he still looks like Udo Dirkstein in that picture.
He does. Oh, man. Okay, here's your next word, Ron. Its earliest documented use was in 1669.
All right.
Again, our producer's slacking. It is a noun.
Oh, it's a noun.
It's
okay.
It's a noun this time. It's one of nautical terminology.
As opposed to naughty terminology.
Correct. Your word, Ron, is leeway.
Leeway?
Mm-hmm.
L-E-E-W-A-Y.
That's correct.
It comes from the ship, which actually is a leeway, and that's a passage.
No.
You give some room, some passage, give him a little leeway so that he can navigate the ship.
That is not the definition on the paper. On the script.
There's the gangway, the leeway. Are you kidding me?
What, have you been infused with some Ruth into you lately?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Hey, Ruth's not here. I gotta show up for both of us.
Wow.
But no, he ain't got that at all.
If you give him some leeway, you mm-hmm. give him some room to negotiate, to steer the ship.
No.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That's not what's in the script. Blame the producer.
Hazard.
I'm giving it to you.
You're a
just reach over there and hit that
sell.
Bell.
No, because it's not what we're looking for.
All right, give me a sentence.
And a lack of standard practices gives some firms leeway to cut corners.
Room and permission.
All right, I'll give you on that one.
Good gosh.
That's not what it says, though.
What does it say?
One on the paper says the amount of freedom to do something, margin or latitude. I've been given a lot of leeway in my career.
Yeah,
I'm not giving you any on these words though.
Oh man.
What was
the definition that they said again?
I just told you.
Yeah.
The amount of freedom to do something.
Okay.
Margin or latitude.
All right.
So. Whoa! Turn that down.
All right.
That's our next song.
Well.
Ooh. Okay, so let's get this back to there. Okay, get it all queued up. So,
I'm two for three.
What was that dude's name, Hazard, that was in Metallica?
Jason
Newsted. That's your clue, Ron. He was in a band before he was in Metallica called Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yeah.
All right, so this word, Ron, has two definitions as a noun. It's from the old French. Its earliest documented use was in 1607.
Yeah.
And the word, Ron, is flotsam.
It's flotsam.
Flotsam. Floatsam.
Yeah, it's that stuff that floats on the water.
Flotsam.
It's debris. Seaweed debris.
You don't even want the sentence?
No, just give it to me.
No, because you're wrong.
What? Give me the sentence.
Actually, you're kind of right, but it's not what you're saying. Not by this definition.
All right, give me the sentence.
Jeez, let me get to it, would you?
Okay.
Lawrence momentarily regretted having damaged the book, but he didn't bother picking it up. It could join the collection of flotsam on the floor.
Well, it's debris. Garbage.
No, not by the two definitions we have here. Sorry.
That's the stuff that floats on the water. You know that, flotsam and jetsam.
After
a wreck.
Okay. After a shipwreck.
So that sentence means the wreckage of books on the floor.
Is correct. That,
okay.
And the other definition is people or things considered useless.
Jetsam?
No, that's flotsam.
Flotsam.
Your next word, Ron.
Okay.
And final word for today.
Good. Thank goodness.
Is also a noun with two definitions.
Mm-hmm.
Its earliest documented use was in 1491. Before
Columbus.
Christopher Columbus
sailed the ocean blue.
Did you notice
the
yellow highlights?
I did.
All right.
I'm not sure why they're there because the word is bolded. But if it makes you happy, Hazard, highlight away. This early, let's see. It's from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And it is jetsam. Your word is jetsam.
I just told you. Flotsam and jetsam go together. Debris.
Okay, smarty pants. They're not the same. Or if they were the same, there wouldn't be two words,
oh,
right?
Ooh.
All right, let's hear the sentence for jetsam.
I yearn to be of the stars. We are all stardust, after all, having been created from jetsam of the Bing Bang.
That'd be like the dust.
No. I read that horribly. Let me read it again.
Okay.
I yearn to be of the stars. We are all stardust, after all, having been created from jetsam of the Big Bang.
Like the debris left over from the Big Bang. Flotsam and jetsam are the same thing.
I'm seeing your pain, so I'll give it to you. Goods thrown overboard to lighten a ship in distress would be jetsam. Not to be confused with things floating after the ship had crashed, which would be flotsam. Or the other definition for jetsam is discarded material, debris, etc.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This was trying.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good name for a couple of like stray dogs, flotsam and jetsam.
And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. Well, let's see here. We had copper bottomed, which I didn't get, which means reliable, trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Groggy means dazed, weak, or intoxicated. Leeway, which I said was space.
Right.
Freedom, latitude. Flotsam is debris or useless people. Jetsam is goods that are thrown overboard as if the ship were sinking or crashed or whatever to lighten a load. It's also the material left over after stars explode, create planets, right?
Correct.
All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 for 5. Not bad.
It's a good comeback from last week.
Yeah. I didn't know where he was going with that copper bottom, though.
Well, I told you it was Ragnar approved.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Well, Ragnar's from the Nordic, Icelandic, Viking kind of thing, so you gotta think ships. Copper bottom on
ships.
The ship.
Okay. Alright.
So what we do is we reinforce and make reliable.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Hi, Motor City Static here on the Biff Radio Network. It's music time.
It is.
All right, let's do another track here then, shall we? This comes from Bob Dylan, Unplugged. So it's a live track. Why don't we fade it in after I hit play? This is All Along the Watchtower on Motor City Static.
It's All Along the Watchtower. Bob Dylan here on Motor City Static. I think I've got the theme now, Chuck.
What's that?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Why is that?
Because the Watchtower magazine.
No.
I'm moving on because you don't want to be talking to them.
I just don't answer the door. You think I don't answer my phone? You should see when someone knocks on my door.
So that's not the theme, huh?
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Okay, Motor City Static.
I was taught back in my days, and I think I learned this in college, that you responding to the phone ringing or the door being knocked on, there's a choice. You don't have to answer it.
Right.
And I usually choose not to.
Yeah.
When I'm at home.
Well, it's the same thing with the people in their smartphones.
Yes.
Every time a message pings, they have to answer it. They're obsessed with these phones.
Not me. Right, Hazard?
Right.
And people get upset when I don't return messages right away because I'm not really obsessed with the phone.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
So, but
me either.
But Pavlov's dog experiments. Mm-hmm. You know, when the bell rings, the dog salivates.
Yeah.
So when the cell phone rings, the serotonin in the brain makes everyone happy.
Or?
Really?
Yeah.
I must have some bad serotonin because I'm like, oh, God, not again.
I know. Sometimes I like to be left alone myself. Massachusetts police say they have arrested a man who stole 7 manhole covers and put traffic cones in their place.
Really?
Yep.
How would he do that?
Well, the Telegram and Gazette reports the 46-year-old Webster man was arrested last Friday and charged with larceny. Police say they first received a call around 2:45 p.m. last Wednesday from a witness who saw the suspect taking a manhole cover in Webster. Authorities received several other calls about missing manhole covers, and they say they stopped a vehicle matching the witness's description later that day. Police say the suspect acknowledged taking the manhole covers and pointed officers to where he had sold them. Authorities recovered the covers Wednesday from a Millbury salvage yard. Webster Sewer Superintendent William Burke says they replaced 2 stolen covers with spares.
Hmm.
But doesn't it behoove the operators of the salvage yard to refuse manhole covers?
You would think.
Copper wire?
They probably don't know that it's there. Because in my experience, you just drive up with your truck.
On the scale.
On the scale. They weigh you going in. And then they weigh you going out. You dump it yourself.
Right.
So they don't really know what's in there.
Well, they should have an inspector out front.
Really, Ron? They should have.
I would think so.
They don't.
They don't.
You've been there, right, Hazard?
Yeah.
You did all...
Got a phone call from Cousin Tim.
Oh, yeah, how is he?
He's doing fine, asking about the Super Bowl party.
Are we going?
Are you?
We're there. I'm going.
Chuck?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. I'll get back to you.
All right, it's no pressure. But I did reserve 3 spots, so I'll bring the meatballs and gravy.
All right.
Has, what are you going to bring?
I'll bring something. I got a frozen pie.
Pie.
I got a pecan pie that I can pull out at that pie. Time.
Pie. That sounds good.
Since you boys passing that cherry pie, I'm hanging on to that bad lad.
You can have it. I don't like anything. I don't like cherry fruit filling or cherries. I like cherry flavor, though. It's weird. Like cherry Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Faygo. Cherry Crush.
You like it or don't like
it? I do, but okay. I don't like the texture of the cherry itself.
Hmm.
What's that?
I don't know.
You know what I bought today, though, at the grocery store because I had a coupon? Some frozen berries. Doesn't this sound good? They didn't have the Belgian waffles, frozen Belgian waffles that I like, but I have the other frozen waffles, and I bought some frozen berries. There's blueberries, raspberries, and I want to say blackberries in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Sounds tasty.
And some whipped cream. Put that on a toasted frozen waffle.
Mm-mm-mm. Don't the frozen blueberries get soggy after you thaw them out?
I don't know. I've had them before, but it's been a long time.
Okay. Because I'm not a fan of frozen fruit.
No?
It's soggy.
Sounds
I like
good.
It that
Sounds
way.
Tasty.
You like soggy?
I do.
Police in Maine have accused a man of punching himself in the face 3 times to avoid a sobriety test.
Did it work?
I don't know. Police in the town of Belfast say they found 27-year-old Brian Fogg in his car stuck in the ditch last week. WGME-TV reports police said when they tried to test for his blood alcohol level, Fogg punched himself in the face, causing himself to bleed. Police tended to his injuries instead of giving him the test, but later charged him with operating under the influence, falsifying physical evidence, and criminal mischief. Fogg's been released on bail. He has an unpublished number, and it wasn't immediately known if he had a lawyer. So why would we know if he has an unpublished number?
I don't know.
It's crazy stuff.
Indeed it is.
And the report came back from the coroner with regard to Tom Petty.
I heard about this.
Ooh.
And I'm looking at the Rolling Stone article here. After months of speculation, a medical examiner has ruled that Tom Petty died of an accidental overdose. And that's according to a statement from the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner. The Hall of Fame musician had taken several pain medications, including, are you ready for this? Fentanyl. Is it Fentanyl or Fentanyl? Fentanyl?
Fentanyl, I think.
Oh, look at me, fentanyl.
Sepulture.
Sepulture.
The word is sepulture.
What was that word again there, Chuck?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl, there we go. Fentanyl, oxycodone, codone. I'm not doing well.
Pronouncing prescription drugs with Ron.
Well, it's like you're fishing the Latin words, right?
Yeah.
And then he had some, it's oxycodone, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fentanyl, oxycodone, and generic Xanax.
You'd think Tom Petty could have afforded the real thing.
Well, other medications included generic Restoril, which is a sleep aid, and Celexa, which is depression medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Celexa.
Whoa.
Now, the coroner's office listed Petty's official cause of death as, quote, multi-system organ failure due to resuscitated cardiopulmonary arrest due to mixed drug toxicity. Wow.
Whoa, what was that?
Yeah. Fiber slap took a spill.
It was like something was responding to you, right?
Yeah. The doctor also noted the singer suffered from coronary artery atherosclerosis and emphysema, and he's been a lifelong smoker, and good gosh, he's tried every drug that's ever been.
I didn't know he was a smoker.
Are you? Hello? Worse than a locomotive, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Worse than the steam locomotive.
I knew he imbibed in the organic stuff, but I didn't think he.
Petty had been prescribed the drugs to treat emphysema, knee issues, and a fractured hip. Petty's coronary artery disease had been a persistent problem throughout his final tour. Petty was found unconscious and not breathing at his Malibu home on October 2nd. He was rushed to a hospital where he was placed on life support. Although he had a pulse, doctors found no brain activity when he arrived, and the decision to was made to pull the life support. He died hours later. So from what I'm reading into this, he was in a lot of pain and he over-medicated to the point where he just didn't wake up.
Yeah.
And that's sad. But these rock and roll musicians, they really push themselves and they have a very special bond with their fans. So even if they're falling apart, they'll get to the stage one last time.
Oh, yeah.
But if I were Tom, I would have just taken the tour and got some serious medical help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's just me. Well, that's the wrong one.
Uh-oh, yeah, board op issues again.
Yeah.
There we go, this one. That's the only one.
I got to get the scoreboard ready.
It's a new computer system here.
And if you're keeping track at home, I won last week.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. A guess? Yes, Kitty's Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet, we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. So we present a surefire network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick and debonair lady killer, Mr. Johnny Jump Up, the Earl of Spiffy and Exchequer of Bling, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Motor City Static regular. That would be you, Chuck.
Yes.
There's only one, so it's a regular. Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Hey, Big Daddy.
Yes.
Are you ready to hazard a guess?
Johnny Jump Up says yes.
Cool beans. Cool beans. So here we go.
That should be your new screen name on... Plenty of fish there, Hazard. Johnny Jump Up.
Johnny Jump Up. I like that.
All right, Hazard, look me in the eye. The good eye. Put your phone down.
Seriously. Turn your phone off.
Turn the phone off. I want your undivided attention.
All right.
Goodness gracious.
He didn't turn it off, for the record.
Hey, all right, Chuck, when this show goes national on the network, we may or may not have room for Hazard.
We have to have Hazard, because how would we play Hazard a guess without Hazard? We could hire somebody and just call him Hazard.
There we go. So, Jeffrey Lee, you better pay attention. Here we go.
You are correct, sir.
All right, Smarty Pants, look me in the eye, the good eye.
Which eye?
The good one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's all about anatomy, your favorite subject.
All right.
How many muscles do you have in your fingers?
Oh,
I don't know. Would you like to pull one?
Are you kidding me?
Is it muscles? I'm assuming we have the same amount of muscles in each finger, correct?
The question is, Mr. Embarrass me at big words.
Yes.
How many muscles do you have in your fingers? How many muscles do you have in your fingers? Simple, straight up question.
Are we counting the thumb as a finger?
Yes.
Okay.
The opposable thumb is a finger in this instance.
That's what makes us different. You know that.
How many muscles do you have in your fingers, Jeffrey Lee?
I'm going to say, well, because I'm a rock star, superstar guitarist.
Then you'll step up to the mic, yes.
And I'm going
to
say 365.
Both hands or one hand?
No. I'm going to say finger or one hand?
How many muscles do you have in your fingers? How many fingers do you have, gentlemen?
10.
All right. So how many muscles do you have?
Well, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs.
It's a muscle per finger.
A muscle per finger. So your answer is? I don't want to see that finger.
Wait, that's another muscle hazard.
You're saying how many muscles?
I'll go on one. One muscle.
One muscle. One muscle. There's 10 fingers, and you're going to go with one muscle.
Well, per finger.
So that's how many muscles?
10 fingers, 10 muscles.
Oh, 10 muscles. Okay.
I'm same.
You're same?
Yeah.
Anybody want to change their answer?
No.
You are wrong.
Oh, geez.
You have no muscles in your fingers whatsoever. Tendons are what control the bones that are attached to 17 muscles in the palm of your hand and 18 in your forearm, none of which are in your finger.
Wait a minute. Give me the number again. How many in my forearm?
There are 17 muscles in the palm of your hand, and there are 18 in your forearm.
I know them kind of well.
Get on the mic.
Oh, I know them kind of well.
In our bodies, tendons generally connect muscle to bone, and ligaments generally connect bone to bone. The muscles that close your hand are known as flexors, and the ones that open your hand are known as extensors. Some are small and help control each individual finger. So there are no muscles in your fingers whatsoever.
Those are bone and cartilage, and whatnot.
Yeah. Tendons and what's the other word? Ligaments.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a trick question.
It was not.
It wasn't a trick question. I just wanted Ryan to feel good, so that's why I gave him that answer. I knew better.
I have a friend who has a condition called rheumatosis.
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
Well, it's a her.
Okay.
Why do you assume it's a male friend?
I don't know.
You know, I like women. I have women friends. He rolls his eyes. I have a friend who has a condition called rheumatosis. Should she be concerned? Is this a major disease? Should she be concerned that she has a condition called rheumatosis? R-U-B-A-T-O-S-I-S.
Well, I know that's not one of the questions they ask on the dating site last time I checked.
Maybe it should be.
Rheumatosis. Now, there's a word called halitosis.
I was just thinking that.
What is halitosis?
Bad breath.
That's right. So there's something called rheumatosis. So if someone's afflicted with rheumatosis, should he or she be concerned?
How do you spell rheuba?
R-U-B-A-T-O-S-I-S. Is it something to be concerned about? That's the bottom line. It's a simple 50% yes or no, up or down question.
No.
No. Chuck, what do you say?
Let me break it down.
Okay.
This is a rube.
Yeah, is what Jeff Hazard is. Yes, a rube.
It's related to the color red, correct?
Yeah.
Ptosis. Is that the
Latin word for condition, I believe.
Latin word for condition. So red condition.
Yeah.
Pink skin, red
skin. That's all
it is,
pink skin.
I'm going to go with Hazard, no.
No? The answer is no. But it has nothing to do with your external skin. It is your internal heart muscle. Rheumatosis is the unsettling awareness of your own heartbeat. So if you're ever running really fast and you're trying to catch your breath and your chest is pounding.
That happens to me sometimes.
Yep, or you're in bed.
Not from running, though.
When you're in bed at night.
Right then.
Yeah, there you
go. And you're sitting, oh my gosh, one beat. So rheumatosis is the unsettling awareness of your own heartbeat. And okay. We've all experienced that. It's called rheumatosis. All right. How about a score?
It's tied, 1-1.
All right. Jeffrey Lee?
Yep.
Put the phone down. Look at me.
I'm not doing it.
He's cleaning it.
I'm cleaning it.
A python spends about 75% of its life doing this. We just talked about a python. A dog spends about 44%, and an adult human spends about 33% of their lives doing this. What are they doing? A python spends about 75% of its life doing this. A dog spends about 44%, and adult humans spend about 33% of their lives doing this. What are they doing?
Chasing cars.
Chasing cars.
No, it's getting sleep.
Getting sleep. Chuck, what say
you? Yeah, I'm going with sleep.
Sleep it is. That is correct. All right. Final question here. Man, we're doing great on time. I love this new format of the show, by the way. It just goes by real quick.
Your producer's a genius.
Thank you. All right, Hazard, here we go. Who generally lives longer? Left-handed or right-handed people? Who generally lives longer? Left-handed or right-handed people? It's an interesting answer.
The word of the day is ambidextrous. I'm going to go with...
Right-handed people. All right. Chuck.
Well, you know, most of the left-handed people I know are quite calm individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say left-handed people live longer.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Both of you want to change your answers?
Both of us? Everybody lives, there's no difference.
There's no difference?
Yeah, I'm changing my answer to there's no difference.
All right. The answer is, Chuck?
There's no difference.
That is correct. Neither person lives longer. There is no correlation between survival and your hand preference. Now, there was a myth originated with a 1988 Nature paper by Diane Halpern and Stanley Coren, and that was titled, Do Right-Handers Live Longer? Now, according to Chris McManus, professor of psychology and medical education at the University College in London, and the author of the book Right Hand, Left Hand, the researchers made a very subtle error, okay? Now, the studies were conducted in Southern California, where lists are published of everyone who has died. So Diane and Stanley went through and took a list of people who had recently died and contacted their families, asking whether or not their relative had been right or left-handed. They did 2,000 of these cases. They saw that the average age at death of the left-handers was about 9 years younger than that of the right-handers. On that basis, they concluded that left-handers died earlier. At first glance, that seems persuasive, doesn't it, Chuck?
Yes, it does.
But Christmas McManus explains their mistake was that they only looked at the dead people. The point is that left-handers are more common now than they used to be. Because back then, if you were lefty, they would retrain you to be a righty, right?
Oh, yes.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Left-handers were on average younger than right-handers. So they didn't finish with the study, and they made their conclusion way too early. So there is no difference in who lives longer, left-handed or right-handed people. And there you go. What's the final score?
I won again.
Hooray!
3 for Chuck, 2 for Hazard.
Love that.
Yeah, me too.
All right, time for a song.
Sure. This is one from a CD called Elvis Presley's Number One Hits. I'm going to send this one out and dedicate it to my good friend here, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard. It's the 12th song off the CD. It was recorded on June 10th, 1958. Its chart debut was on March 30th, 1959. This is called A Big Hunk of Love.
Big Hunk of Love.
On Motor City Static.
Elvis Presley, A Big Hunk of Love.
Fabulous stuff.
Huh?
Fabulous stuff.
Yeah. What I like is that was recorded live in the studio.
Probably, yeah.
No overdubbing.
Mm-mm.
They messed it up. They went back and they did it again live. I love that.
I think he has the number one... Isn't he the number one deceased, like residual estate kind of thing?
I think it's Michael Jackson.
But he's got to be up there.
He's up there. He's up there, I'm sure. All right, Chuck, does that fall into the part of the clues for your theme?
Yes, sir. It's the final clue.
Final clue. So we had Candy's Room by Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Moving On by B.B. King.
Correct.
Bob Dylan, All Along the Watchtower.
Correct.
And then Elvis Presley, A Big Hunk of Love.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do. So I'm a little bit out of sorts here. I don't...
You must be on a road rally or something trying to figure out clues?
Do you know the answer, Hazard?
No.
You weren't paying attention either?
I wasn't paying attention.
You were told to pay attention. Had something
I'm so
to
poor
do.
I don't pay attention. I get it on credit.
Even with my mental condition right now, I was able to pay attention and follow directions.
Give me the, what clues do you have?
Candy's Room
yeah.
by Bruce Springsteen. B.B. King, I'm Moving On. All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan. And Elvis Presley, A Big Hunk of Love. What do all four songs have in common? What's the theme that Chuck was trying to lay on us? Now, Admit, I haven't a clue. I have no idea.
Wow.
They've been covered all by Devo.
Really?
I don't know. Why, is there one more final clue, or is this
it? No, those are all the clues.
The clues, okay.
Those are all the clues.
Does it have to do with rooms?
No.
Nothing at all, huh?
Mm-mm.
Big Uncle Lowe.
He referenced it
I said the answer earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I must have not paid attention.
Well, I guess not. I'm going to quit working so hard on my pre-production.
Well, I've got so many things here that I'm running through. I haven't a clue.
Hazard?
Hang on a minute.
Hazard's studying the CDs over here.
Where's the script for the This Day in Rock History? It's on there, right? The answer's there.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, every one of these artists that he's named is...
Were they all part of B.B. King's record collection that he donated?
No.
No?
Hazard just said the answer.
What'd you just say?
It's all part of his rock report.
Yeah. Every one of those bands or artists that we played.
That's what I said at the beginning. I thought there was another theme.
No. Just one theme.
Oh. I was looking... Because you said you found a CD in a room, and then Bruce Springsteen's talking about Candy's room, and then B.B. King says, I'm packing up, I'm moving out of here, I'm moving on, I'm thinking they're leaving a room.
Oh, I didn't even think that deep.
See, that's the difference. But they were all in the rock report.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Sometimes I take this job too seriously.
I trademark rock report. You mean This Day in Rock History.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get it together.
I'm sorry.
All right.
What was my voiceover person's name again?
Imani Wright.
Thank you very much, Imani.
She did a great job.
Yes, she did.
Do we have time for one more?
I hope so, because I got one queued up.
Let's go.
We were both there for the CD release party for this one, and so was Hazard, I do believe. They've been playing some gigs recently. Took the stage at St. Andrew's Hall, talking about stories untold from their CD, Can't Go Home. This is Listen. On Motor City Static.
That story's untold. Chuck, what's the name of that song?
Listen.
Okay. What's the name of that song?
Listen.
I'm listening. Tell me the name of the song by Stories Untold.
It's called Listen, and it's from CD entitled Can't Go Home. God.
That's a little comedy there for
you. Are you trying to do your own Who's on First?
Yeah. Anyway, let's see... One of the Clark boys is on that, right?
Yes.
All right. And then one of the Maloney kids is on that.
Correct.
All right.
So that's how we know them. It's Jake, Kevin, Brennan, and Tim make up the band Stories Untold.
And that's a good album.
Very, very good.
Very good stuff there. All right. The clock on the wall says nothing because it's an inanimate object, but I'm looking at it and it says we've run out of time.
It's a digital clock, though.
Yes. Which means it has no muscles in its fingers.
There you go. And it's extenders.
You're just as bad as I am with the memory tonight. All right, Chuck. Anything going on?
Oh, let me think. Well, the North American International Auto Show's in town.
That's good.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go down there, check it out next weekend.
That's good. All right. Has?
Stayed out of trouble. Got a surprise 50th birthday party coming up. Next weekend.
For one of your ties?
Oh.
That was pretty funny, wasn't it?
Boy, you're on fire tonight. Maybe I should let you help me co-write my book about grocery store shopping etiquette.
All right, MotorCityStatic.com, the podcast of this here broadcast will be up there until next week. Oh, by the way, the email address, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com, MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. On behalf of Chuck and Haz, Uncle Ron saying, have a nice week. We'll see you here next week on the Biff Radio Network.